Name of the Father and of the Son and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's like I said to Sammy during the children's message. It is part of the human condition that someone at some point has, is, and will disappoint you. It is part of the human condition also that we as individuals have, are, or will disappoint others. It comes with the territory of being members of a sinful, broken world. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, was more or less apologizing for being so hard on the Corinthians in the first letter and saying, yep, you've done what I needed you to do. Well done. Here's some more instructions. And so when we get to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and Paul says to them, he says, so then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though that's how we knew Christ, that's not how we know him now, and we need to do better. Paul was disappointed with the Corinthians back when he wrote 1 Corinthians, right? When he wrote 1 Corinthians, he was disappointed in that church because they were not following the way they were supposed to. The Corinthians, who were Gentile converts to Christianity, trying to do this Christianity thing the best way they could, kept holding on to their Gentile, their pagan beliefs and their Gentile and pagan traditions. And so they were having this conundrum. It's like, well, we've got what we've always known. Allah, that's the way we've always done it. And we've got this new thing called Christianity, and while we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, died, rose 3 days again, we can't give up. We're not ready to let go of the things that make us who we are. We're not ready to let go of the traditions that we learned at the knees of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents that have gone on for generations before us. Paul was disappointed in them. You go through 1 Corinthians, and it's this stern reminder. This is how you do this. 1 Corinthians 13, we use it for weddings. Love is patient, love is kind. No, Paul was telling the people, this is how you love people. That love is most important. That you have to let go of the pagan ways of doing things. And so we move on. Now we're in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthians are doing better. The church in Corinth is better about the Christian aspects of things and letting go of the old ways. But Paul doesn't stop teaching them. And so he's reminding them that where he says, so then if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. He's saying to them, you're living in a post-resurrection world. The way we used to do things is not the way we do them anymore. And he goes on and he says, all of these new things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. In my experience, personal experience, this is Pastor Christina laying it all out on the line here for you today. In my experience, people can let me down only so many times. And then I'm done. I'm just done. Kind of in the land of fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And there won't be a third time. Well, the problem is I come back for a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh. And finally, by the tenth time, I'm like, this isn't healthy. I don't see where he says that. I've read in Scripture about forgiving somebody 70 times, seven times. I've read in Scripture about if it, right cheek, left cheek, the turn the other cheek, that whole thing. I don't remember ever anybody saying, turn your back on somebody. How many times have we been disappointed? To lighten it up a little bit, who was disappointed at the Michigan game score? Thank you. Whose bracket is completely busted? Both of them. I had my Michigan wins, that's the dream bracket, and I had my, this is more realistic, and that one's busted because who even knows what's going on? Anyway, how many times has somebody said they're going to do something for you and they forgot? How many times has somebody said they'd be there for something and they didn't show up? Okay, let's try on the other one. How many times have you said you'd do something and then didn't? How many times have you been going to do one thing and then something else came up and you went and did that instead? People will disappoint us, and we will disappoint those around us. But what Scripture tells us and what God encourages us and what Paul encouraged the Corinthians and continues to encourage us today is that there has to be a healthy dose of forgiveness. Now, I have said it before. I will say it again. This is not a carte blanche become somebody's doormat. That is not what I'm saying. You do not put up with abusive situations. You do not stay in abusive relationships, whether they be romantic or work-wise or whatever the case may be. No. Because that's a whole other topic for something else. But what I have to work on, and if I was a betting woman, I'd say most of us in this room have to work on, is not being so terribly disappointed to the point of giving up on people when something doesn't go the way we think it should. There have been plenty of experiences, plenty of times, when something hasn't gone the way I thought it should, or somebody hasn't done what they said they'd do. On the other hand, there have been plenty of times when I said I'd do something and then didn't. Whatever excuse I can come up with, there it is. But we are reminded of these words. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sin against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. And then Paul continues, so we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. It gets a little weird in English translation from the Greek, right? And with the tenses. When he says, God is negotiating with you through us, it sounds like he's talking to the second Corinthians, the church in Corinth, in his second letter, about the people with Paul. And, well, that's one way to read it. Maybe how he wrote it. But the other way to read it is, God is negotiating with you, the world, through all of us, the church folk, right? We beg you, as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin, Jesus, to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. We are given a mandate beyond, in addition to, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We are also given, you are ambassadors of Christ. It's why back in the 90s, the What Would Jesus Do bracelets were really pretty popular. And I wish we'd bring them back, because we're ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors who represent Christ. If we can't represent the forgiveness of Christ, then we're not doing our job. And what that looks like is that when we disappoint someone, we ask for their forgiveness. And we ask, please, help me, give me a second chance. I promise I will try better not to do it the same the next time. On the other hand, when we are disappointed, we have to offer that olive branch. Holding a grudge against somebody does nothing to them and absolutely everything to you. Because when you're holding a grudge against someone who's disappointed you, or you're holding a grudge against somebody who's done you wrong, you think they feel it? No. What that does is it eats at you. And it takes away part of your ability to love your Creator and to accept your Creator's forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. Why? So we could be forgiven from our sins. Part of that is forgiving those around us. It would be easier. I'll admit, it would be easier to just, I'm done. We wouldn't be here if that's what Jesus had done. And there were plenty of opportunities for Jesus to go, y'all are nuts. We don't give up on people. We don't give up on relationship with each other. We don't give up on hoping and praying that it'll be better next time. Because if we become people who have no hope that things are going to get better, then what was the point? Jesus died the most horrific death there is. Why? For us. Why? To save us from our sins. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and is still true for us today, we are ambassadors of that truth. We are ambassadors of the gift. And above all else, Jesus taught us how to love, and he taught us how to forgive. We're ambassadors of that, which means we have to do it too. We're called to do it too. Yes, it would be easier to walk away. It wouldn't hurt so much. At least not in the moment. We don't give up on people. Because it's like the kids in... Think about the kids in my children's choir back at my previous church. And any one of you who has been a teacher in this room or are a teacher knows this to mostly 90% be true. The kid who needs your love the most is the one who would be the easiest to go, I'm done, right? The kid who needs you the most and needs your forgiveness and needs you to show up the most is the one who is the hardest to reach. The same is true for other people. The people that are the hardest for us to reach, the people who are the would be the easiest to just walk away from and say, you know what, I don't have the time, the effort, or the energy to put into this, are the ones who need us the most. They need that extra dose of love, of God's love, of God's forgiveness. Why? Because they're seeking it. They're acting out looking for it. You can't give up on people because God never gave up on you. Amen.